Because really, we need to start from the beginning. Because in the beginning, there was the word. And I think the word was brunch. And it was something I don't think I was too familiar in the Atlanta reggae scene. So we decided to talk to some people who are kind of known for pushing the envelope when it comes to this brunch, especially with the rum. So I'd like to welcome Rum Punch Brunch Brothers, otherwise known as the Rockers Unlimited. Welcome, Sunsplash Mix Show.
Much respect.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
All right. All right. Now let's break it down, because I know, Dregge, a lot of people be calling your phone, but who really is Rockers Unlimited? Like, how many people make up that collective?
It's a lot of us. Yeah, it's a lot of us. It's a very close-knit family unit. So, we are the co-founders of Rockers Unlimited. But, you know, it includes Capo and Kwame, Travis, you know, there's so many names, Elan, and then there's this big close-knit unit of friends that help us push everything that we do. You know, they're like the driving force behind us making moves.
I like it, making moves. Let's get back to the beginning. Like I was saying, I know I've been in Atlanta for a long time. I know we've had Cool Effects. You know what I mean? We had Backyard Jam. You understand? I don't remember if we ever had an actual brunch before the Rum Punch Brunch. Was that something you guys like worked on? Or take us back. When was the first idea and execution for the Rum Punch Brunch?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many things that came up over the years. We used to have a Rum Punch Fridays. I think that's kind of where the first iteration came, but that's when we were what, Soul Rebel?
Yeah.
It wasn't Rockers Unlimited then, it was Soul Rebel. And that party didn't go so well. But the brunch, I think we were at a brunch when the idea came up. So that's kind of how I don't remember if you remember everything. But
Remember the year? You remember the year?
2016.
It was 15, yeah, it was 15. We're at a birthday brunch, and I guess at that time it wasn't a very popular thing, especially here.
Especially in the Caribbean community. I mean, there was always, restaurants have brunch all the time, but it was never really a thing like that.
So we saw an opportunity in that moment being there. We're like, you know what, we could infuse our culture into this, and you know, like Alan said, Rum Punch was one of our first events way back in the day, 2008. So we basically married the two, and the concept just kept evolving from there.
I like to hear that. Now, some people are going to question whether the beginning was business, was it hustling, or was it like, nah, it's a vibe. We just want a party.
It was definitely a vibe because, it's something we thought about at that time, but we never really acted on it. And then we got a phone call for some restaurant, Spice Bistro,
yeah,
that they wanted to do an event. And it wasn't, they didn't even really have a concept yet. And we're like, well, we got this idea and, maybe we should execute it here. And that's kind of how it happened. So it wasn't like, it was kind of, it was the idea we're just sitting on waiting for something to happen, not really looking for it to happen.
I like it. Now, reggae in Atlanta, I've been speaking to business owners and venue owners, very different, and then the actual population, the patrons that come out. And something that I always kind of like it rings is like this thing about building a relationship. Promoters, build a relationship with your patrons. Selectors, build a relationship with your audience. And now you guys, a promotion company, what is it about building a relationship? What's more important? Yo, we got to find the venue and lock it down. Or nah, we gotta make sure we got the people first.
Yeah, I think we invest in people, and like relationships are a big part of what we do. And that's basically the main reason we've never printed a flyer or anything like that. It's just, building these relationships with various people, and it's through those relationships we're able to communicate like throughout the whole entire community. And, you know, it's been like the focus has been putting people first in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. You know, it was never a hustle.
Never a hustle. I like that. And we don't want you to give away all the secrets. You know what I'm saying? Because some people focus on, I need to do a weekly. That's the only way I can, you know, like gather that momentum and keep in contact. And others is like, yo, don't push it. You just do it once a month.
Right.
Sometimes you guys are doing yearly events. So is there one that you lean to more than the other?
As far as weekly versus yearly?
Weekly versus not necessarily. I think it depends on the event. You know, it kind of like Rum Punch Brunch, it's a brunch. So, I mean, you should brunch every week. So, I mean, you can't, you're like, yeah. So that's how that came up. But other events, like a special event, feels like it should be an annual thing, like the Jamaica Independence that we do. I mean, obviously that's an annual thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so it kind of depends on the event, I think.
Yeah.
And where it is and, you know, everything. I think we think about everything. Maybe we think about everything too much. But
overplanned.
I like that. Some of the secrets of business is overthinking, you know.
Yeah.
And, how much of it is, yo, the pit of my stomach, like, yo, I'm nervous. Yo, I don't know if it's like a rain. And then the sponsor never come through with the check.
Right.
How much of that played a part into some of your decision making? Or you was like, nah. We got a bad team, like we good.
So one thing that we never ever do is call it. Like we never say we expect this many people. We expect the weather to be this. Like we basically just focus on excellence, like delivering the best possible experience you can, and then the rest kind of follows. So yeah, we're always nervous, you know what I mean? Because anything can happen. Like for example, last year we started season 4, and that was the biggest turnout we've ever seen. And we're only able to do it twice, and nobody expected COVID.
Right.
So we always have that expectation that anything can go wrong. So we try to just be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Let's talk a little bit about maybe negotiating again with a venue, because sometimes our community gets on the wrong foot when it comes to negotiation with businessmen and businesswomen. So when you guys approach a venue and said, hey, we want to do a brunch, in their mind, okay, laid back, a little bit of finger food, not going too crazy. But you know, you guys are Jamaican. You know this is going to turn into a party. So was there any like bridge that you had to cross from all the different venues? Like, yeah, I know we said start small, but this is about to blow up.
I don't even know. Go ahead.
Yeah, of course, like who we approach is key, because they have to, like, their vision has to align with ours, and they have to be like flexible, because you know, as you can see, the concept is somewhat set, but it's something that keeps evolving, so it has to be a space that's willing to change with us. So, you know, like we've been lucky to work with owners, partner with owners who actually share the vision, and then they actually add value too. Like they'll say, hey, what if we tried this?
Or, right.
You know, it just works better that way when you align with people who share the same vision and right. The same love.
Mm-hmm. I like it. We're talking to Rockers Unlimited right now. His name is Alan. His name is Dregan. For those who don't know, the first time that I got a bunch of emails from out-of-state people asking me about this brunch thing, they were trying to hashtag it and find out about it. They were more focused on, is it really downtown at the Sound Table? So that's where a lot of my people got on, and it was like, yo, nothing don't ever keep on Edgewood like this. Mm-hmm. So where do you think like it burst? Out of all the venues that you worked, was it really Sound Table because it was downtown, or was like, nah, it was when we was up way north?
I mean, it was definitely making noise when it was in Coconut Grill in Norcross. I mean, definitely. I mean, I think when you know I have a good event, people come anywhere, really. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can create a... We were worried about going to Norcross, to be honest. And that was one of the worries. And I think somebody said to us, you know, you create a destination,
mm-hmm.
And you make it work. And so you kind of just create that space anywhere you go. But we wanted to go downtown for sure. Right? The foot traffic is something we thought we wanted to have an edge with.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. For those who don't remember the Coconuts, it started to expand. There was a Labor Day. There was a big tent. There was just, it was like so much was going on. Let me get back to again. Let's be clear. It was free.
Yes, always.
That's something you guys made sure from the beginning. Brunch mm-hmm. supposed to be free.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that. That was the whole thing. Like mm-hmm. you come into brunch and you're going to pay to go to eat again. So it's kind of weird, right? So that's why we decided it was free. And we had to stick to that, you know.
All right. Then how did the brunch turn into a party? Because that's what Sound Table started. When does the brunch finish? And then when did the party start?
I think that started to evolve from Coconut Grill, because it was an all-out brunch. And then, you know, as the evening went by, people started dancing more. And then we started moving the furniture at a certain time. So when we moved to the Sound Table, they had the extra space. The space two next door, they had the patio. So we're like, all right, this is our opportunity to change the format. So now we have a brunch and a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have to move furniture.
Which was, you know, it really was created at Coconut Grill in terms of the brunch and vibe. Mm-hmm. It just kind of made sense now with the venue and two different rooms. So that's how that worked. But the other thing that kind of turned it into a day party is Uncle Ray. Call him Uncle Ray.
Definitely.
All right.
Nephew is the, you know, another secret behind.
Right. So the actual rum punch. Let's just put it out there again. Some people swear that Dregge a mix the rum punch and Alana pour. So where did the rum punch sponsor, our promotion, our business come from?
Where did it come from? Well, it's our formula. And we've been blessed to work with Campari in terms of sponsorship, because one of the key components of it is Ray and Nephew. So, yeah, we are doing the mixing.
Yes, I am pouring and he is mixing. Every week.
Every week.
Every week.
Yeah,
every week. Very signature. Glad to have you guys for a couple of minutes here. Let's talk about expansion. Because like I said, some of the events scramble. Now we know the block party, maybe before or after, somebody didn't think, but oh, y'all are the Halloween, all right? And I see it on New Year's Eve. Like, seriously, did I miss something? Like, when did you guys say, like, yo, we need to expand?
We have a concept for every section of the year, really and truly.
I mean, you know, as these concepts come up, it just flows.
Yeah.
You know, the Cinco de Mayo, I mean, that was, I think that's kind of like,
that was
a favorite. Coming up with that one is the most fun. Is it?
Yeah, Soca de Mayo, it was a moment. Mayo, yeah, it was a moment. Like right. Sometimes it just happens, you know what I mean? And that's the greatest thing. And it happened at the right time. So like throughout the year, we have midnight brunch. Then we start off the new year with Cool and Deadly. Then we have Rum Punch Brunch. Then we have Soca de Mayo. Then we have Vanilla Sky. Then we have the Street Dance. Then we have Scream Halloween. And then we have
Midnight Brunch.
Midnight Brunch, yeah, again, yeah. So we'll close it out with that.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, don't be humble. Nah. Success. How much of it do you want to say, all right, we're jotting down the notes. I could probably teach a class on executing.
That's true.
Probably at this point, right? You're right.
True. If I could, then I would do it five more times. But kind of just doing what we do. Well, I don't know.
Building the plane while we're flying it.
And I like it.
So, you know.
We definitely had these brothers. Now, we know the pandemic hit everybody when it comes to business. Hit a lot of people harder. Some people had some 6-month and some 8-month you know, relationships, and, you know, they put down any money as promoters. So now that we're going to launch another season of Rum Punch Brunch here in Atlanta, do you actually have the whole year planned out, or are you still kind of taking it month by month as far as COVID vaccine and the current state of the city?
I would say month by month. It's kind of planned out in terms, I mean, we have our signature events, and it's, you don't really have to plan it. It's the date it has to be. Halloween is Halloween, and, you know, independence is independence. But I guess we're kind of, I would say month to month, because we kind of have to watch what everybody else is doing and the city is doing. And, you know, so.
All right. We definitely got to find out. I don't know who gets the most phone calls for the hookup. That's what me want to know. So if I swear,
come on. I think you know already.
Dregge, you must got the hookups. And so who get the most calls when it comes to Rum Punch Brunch?
Well, I mean, right now, the Google Voice got the both of us. But, you know, I still get the 1 million WhatsApp messages, and, you know, but we balance, you know.
It kind of works, you know. I mean, one thing I ever thought about is the reason why I even start events, too, is to build a fan base for Dregge, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that was kind of one of the biggest reasons, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess you can say it worked, because they called it.
So. Stop calling, brother. And we know Bartender, Rum Punch Brunch, now for this new season. What is it that people are really going to expect? Because when I say you guys are leveling up, mm-hmm. I done seen some leveling up in some other industries. Believe Music Hall, that's another level right now.
Oh, yeah. Liz.
I mean,
but Believe Music Hall.
Music Hall is just.
And it's, you know, they're getting ready for us right now.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of plans. It's just the opportunities are endless. I can't even really.
We have the whole. They're even doing like renovations based on ideas that we have. You know, Alan is an architect as well, and he drew up some plans, and they're
executing right now.
Don't want to say too much, you know?
Just crazy, but yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, that goes back to, like, who you partner with, you know what I mean? Like, they share the vision, and, you know, we're actually collaborating with Carl and Mona from the Sound Table as well, and it's just a great team around, you know, what we're doing, and trust me, I feel like this is where we, like, envisioned it going. We needed the space to grow, and Believe Music Hall is giving us that space to grow and experiment more. So we're kind of modifying the concept a little bit too. So, like, we're eliminating the formal dining aspect, and we're introducing different food trucks every month to diversify the menu. And, you know, it's a faster way, and, you know what I mean, a little bit it more conducive to the new normal. Mm-hmm. So that those are some of the changes that we're making. Parking is great. It's not, you know, before it was a challenge for people with street parking and, you know, like the prices. And here we have several lots, and, you know, they've agreed to keep it reasonable. You know, it's starting at $5. Because they agree that, you know, whether you're rich or not, nobody likes to pay for parking.
Right.
Yeah, like, you know, highly encourage wearing a mask. We'll have sanitation stations. And, you know, it's kind of hard to govern people as it relates to masks, but we're going to keep pushing that, you know, and doing our part.
Right. And get vaccinated.
And we got vaccinated. Like, you know, we're trying to lead by example too. And, you know what I mean? Like, we were the first to shut down and the last to open. And, like, that's how important it is to us that people are safe and, you know, we're doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
Some ladies want to know, is it the same Rum Punch? You're bringing the same Rum Punch?
The same Rum Punch. The same brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's going to be even more spaces for reservations for certain sections, right?
Absolutely. We had no reservations before. Now we will have sections available.
Mm-hmm.
The lineup of the DJs. You guys have always been known to work with local and bring in somebody international. How is that relationship going to go?
Going to keep it the same way, probably a little more international. Mm-hmm. You know, try to bring in some big names, especially early on.
And now we have the space to do that too. So we're going to definitely put some big names on that big stage.
Some things have reached some promoters where they now have to do things for nonprofit organizations or give back to certain communities. Have you found any entities that you want to support and tell some of your patrons to support, give back?
We've always done that from day one. Like every hurricane, we send tons of barrels to the different countries, like with the help of everybody. You know, we've been helping with the St. Vincent, the current drive that they have going for St. Vincent. You know, we always put our best foot forward with that.
You know, and locally, we work a lot with Positive Impact.
Yes.
With kids, underprivileged kids, and they have they work with Safe Place, which is a national company that takes care of kids. So we'd want to get more involved with that for sure. And but yeah, that's something always in our mind.
I like it. I like it. That's just the first Truversation, not a conversation with Rockers Unlimited. I'm gonna go dig deep and get some more questions for part two about reggae in Atlanta with the Rum Punch Brunch, the brothers plus some others. So again, tell some people, yo, why I got an RSVP? I thought I could just walk in like the last time.
Have to. It's like crowd control is one thing. Like, you know, we don't want to get to a space where there's not enough space for people, and it will help us better prepare, you know, and it will also help us, like, I guess, maintain the same energy, the same vibe.
So, I mean, also, it's free, but if you don't RSVP, then it might pay a little thing, right? Yeah. So, I mean, and with a bigger venue, there's bigger bills and all that kind of stuff. So that's why you kind of have to RSVP now. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have to before. Like, before it was like, RSVP if you want to, but now it's...
now you have to.
You have to if you want it to be free.
Plus, like, you know, there's, like, other venues in the area as well. So, you know, yeah, we kind of want to... how you say that?
Delicately.
Like, if you know, you know. You know what I mean? If you don't, you might end up paying the first time, and then you get familiar with us, and you RSVP every time. So, yeah.
I like it. I like it. These are businessmen right here. Give them the pitch. Why should anybody come to Rum Punch Brunch, and where do they find the information?
I mean, is our vibe unmatched. It's inclusive of everyone. It's multicultural.
It's just a welcoming environment, really, you know, and we work hard to keep it that way.
And so incident free.
Everybody's comfortable there. Anybody, you know.
Any age group, like we're open to everyone, and we try to accommodate everybody. And if you ask anybody, they'll tell you it's all about the vibe and the energy. Well, this is Rockers Unlimited. I'm Dregge.
This is Alan.
You're locked into the Sunsplash Mix Show
with Ja Prince and Selector Princess.
Boom.